they murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, the Ravens went up to the city of brotherly love, and they came back with another win. Thankfully, looked like it was going to be a nail-biter towards the end, but it just wouldn't be a trip to Philly unless we saw a video of a fight in the stands, so you know the fans are back as well. Plenty of stuff for us to break down. Joining me, as always, is my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great after a hard-fought Ravens win, but hey, you got what you wished for. Remember the last show we were talking blowout wins and the sleepwalking? Hey, it was exciting, wasn't it?
It was exciting. It was,
so I'm sure you were loving that. You're like, hey, it's drama, it's theater. Are they going to do it? Are they going to let the game off? Are they going to let them off the hook? Yeah, that was a little too close for comfort, my friend, man. I was yeah, it was not pretty, but again, the old Ravens mantra, it wasn't pretty, but it's us, and we're back to winning ugly again. But hey, it's 5-1. It's 5-1. We're okay. But yeah, we have a lot to unpack here again because it shouldn't have been that way. It should not have been that way, but hey.
It shouldn't have been that close, but did you ever have any kind of doubt that the Ravens were going to lose this? Like, as the Eagles were creeping back, were you like, "Ooh, they might take this"?
I did when they scored the touchdown to almost tie it, because if you look and it's uncharacteristic, right? Because we're talking a tale of two defenses. Now, we're going to really focus on the defense because it was the defense's fault that we pretty much almost lost this game. And again, it's a team effort, right? You lose as a team, you win as a team. You don't really put the blame here, but obviously, you know, Lamar and his offense weren't on the field when they blew a 17-0 lead. They're not on the field, but if you look at the miscues all day, Brandon, the Eagles executed, they should have won the game outright, because remember, first two plays of the game, right out of the gate, Carson Wentz sacked. So I'm like, this is going to be a long day for him. Third and long, it was a 3rd and 22, and they almost, you know, they almost lit up the big one. Marcus Peters got bit on a double move. It looked like it was an inside slant, and Marcus Peters was left standing still, and the receiver flew by him. And if you remember, right at the onset of the game, the receiver dropped the ball, just flat out dropped it. Then later in the game, fast forward, Miles Sanders ends up getting loose before he ended up getting hurt. He got loose behind the defenders in the zone coverage, dropped the touchdown pass. So there was two miscues there that you don't know what if the first catch would have happened, you don't know if it would have been translated into a field goal or a touchdown or a Ravens turnover, you don't know. But that would have been at least in field goal range. Obviously, the win was by two. You just don't know. So this one is uncharacteristically on the defense, even though they had a great showing up front because we knew their line was weak. Six sacks, Calais Campbell with the hat trick. Easily to say Calais Campbell was someone to rave about in this game because of the hat trick, three sacks, just putting his presence. There was a block to wear on that one sack. He moved the guy pretty much out of the way with one arm and went right by him. So Calais Campbell's a monster.
Has anyone in Raven history made an immediate impact like Calais Campbell has? I mean, this guy came in, he's a veteran.
Marcus Peters.
I mean, that's a good one too. Calais Campbell came in, he was a veteran of the league. You know, he's got a great reputation, but he came into this Ravens organization and within the first play of the first game made an immediate impact, and he's still right. Doing it. What a pickup by the Ravens. It's awesome to have him on this team, but God, he's every game. Like, if he's on the field, he's doing something positive for this team.
Absolutely, man. I mean, he's a force. Soon as we got out and signed him, I knew it was going to be one of the great signings in Ravens history for somebody to bring in, a big acquisition. And we mean big, we mean literally. The dude's huge.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just a mammoth of a dude. And not only that, but it proved well. But, again, the secondary, man, it just was – it's up and downs. Like, if you really digest it, right, you know, the Ravens are up 17-0 at the half. And then you can sit there and point the finger at, well, the offense fell asleep. The offense was stagnant. Yes, we understand that the offense has problems, right, Brandon? They didn't look the same offense. No killer instinct. You know, Ingram got tweaked with his ankle, a little banged up. The Ravens didn't look crisp and sharp, but when the plays that they did, I mean, what was impressive, how about the touchdown pass to Nick Boyle? You know, Lamar looked like he was running out of bounds, takes like a little two hop steps, and then zigzag, boom, boom, and then throws a laser right into Nick Boyle for the short touchdown pass. So, and Lamar showed it again, pretty much the same play they ran against their division rival, Washington, right? The Lamar – fake the run and then really much run up straight the middle like a shooting bullet and straight to the end zone. So we've seen another play like that, Lamar reaching over 20 miles per hour rushing speed. So dude can book it, man. But other than that, man, I mean, it was one of those performances on defense that it was not sharp at all. I mean, there was lapses in coverage, the big run, Miles Sanders. I mean, that was a big turning point in the play because at that point you had him on the ropes late in the third quarter, and then all of a sudden the big run by Miles Sanders. There it is, the punch out. Remember, there was a couple punch outs all day.
Yeah.
You know, again, they're attacking the ball. Marlon Humphrey and company punching the ball out. The one ended up going out of bounds, unfortunately. And then the other one didn't bounce their way and ended up bouncing right into the receiver's hands, Arthega Whiteside's hands, for a touchdown. So Miles Sanders was heading to the end zone. The ball got punched out. And instead of a touchback or the Ravens picking it up, unfortunately, the receiver who was blocking for Miles Sanders that was headed down the sideline, he ended up picking up for the touchdown. And that was the turning point. Because that point, it was on, man. I mean, it was a blowout at that point. At no point until maybe early in the third quarter, I mean, you know, you had the feeling that the Ravens had this game. But the Ravens – I'm going to start right here. The miscue started when they got the ball at the end of the first, almost at the end of the first half, right? It was a minute left. They had timeouts. They decided to sit on it. And I texted my buddies right away. Where was that killer instinct? Remember how they did that against Cleveland in week one?
Right.
They had, what, two timeouts, 47 seconds, went right down the field. It was 17-6 at that point in time. Then they scored a touchdown. Boom, 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 boom. They went right down the field, 24-6 at half. Done. And that was the ball game pretty much. Here, they could have really blown it up 24-0 or 20-0 with a field goal, but they sit on it. And I always talk about double dipping. They could have double dipped. What's that? Scoring it's when you get the ball at the end of at the start of the third quarter. It's when you have the possession, luckily, at the end of the second quarter, and you're in prime position to maybe try to go score. You score three, you score seven, then you double dip again. There's a combination of scoring anywhere from 6 to 14 points in that stretch. So there's where you can really stretch and blow the game open. The Ravens miscapitalized on that. They did not take advantage of that at all. I thought it was vanilla again. The play calling from Roman suspect, but you know, again, you know, it's a win. I mean, I'm not saying let's throw everything out the door because they won the game. Again, we're breaking down another win, but I don't know where to start, man. But at any point, did you feel, again, same question to you, did you feel that the game was out of hand or once they started creeping up and it was 22-30, then it was 28-30, you're like, okay, all right, we're in trouble. Like, do you still have a feeling that this football team is a 5-1 successful team? Or is this win leave a bad taste in your mouth for the rest of the remainder of the year after the bye week, saying there's no way?
Well, I'll say, like, what was it, like 14 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and the Ravens were leading. It was like 24-6. I mean, there was a big deficit, and yep, to see that deficit shrink so quickly was very worrisome, because you could tell the team was getting tired at this point. And, you know, it's towards the fourth quarter, you know, that fourth quarter can sometimes feel like, you know, a whole game within itself, because the other team starts to get desperate. So I'll say, like, I never lost faith that the Ravens were going to lose, but it definitely, you know, got me on my edge of my seat as the clock was ticking down and ticking down and ticking down. And did I lose a little bit of, even though this is a win, did I lose a little bit of confidence since the Ravens' next opponent is, you know, the 5-0 Steelers, the undefeated Steelers? I'd say, yeah, I think that I did lose a little bit of confidence. I'm not 100% going into the Steelers game thinking, yeah, the Ravens are definitely coming out with a win. Do I think they can beat the Steelers? Absolutely. But do I think right now that they are the team to do it? I don't know. There's still a lot up in the air. That defense, like you said, is very suspect. But I'm hoping that the reason why the defense wasn't 100% on Sunday was because it literally wasn't 100%. Brandon Williams was missing. He was on the COVID list. He knows someone. He doesn't have COVID, but he was in contact with somebody who did. So as a precaution, he was held out of the game. And then Derek Wolf also had a concussion this past week from a hit in practice. So he wasn't there. That's the second game that Derek Wolf has missed. And I've liked what I've seen from Derek Wolf on the field, but we need him on the field. So I'm hoping some of these mistakes on defense were due to the fact that those two guys were missing. But like we always say with the Ravens, it is a next man up mentality.
It's always been like that. But you almost have to feel good, right, what you saw, what you just brought up. No Williams, no Wolf. And they, right from the get-go, they were still at Wentz's wheelhouse, like right out of the gate. So you still have to – because me, I was concerned about that. Even though we knew the weakness of the Eagles with the offensive line they have, I was like, I don't know, can they rush him? Right out of the gate, I was like, all right, we ain't missing these guys. So the defensive line still held its own.
Yeah.
So for the loss of those two guys, and again, right, we're winning by, like, it feels like they're playing mediocre. They're not – we don't want this team to peak in week six, right? But in all, the bye week comes at the perfect time. You know, whether it's COVID-related, whether it's not family members, the player didn't have it, whether it's injury-related, you know, we have Mingram banged up. The bye week can come at a better time after a win like this.
It's kind of crazy because the Steelers game was supposed to be this coming Sunday, but because of the Tennessee Titans COVID outbreak, it got pushed up a week and things got switched around, which, I mean, that's fine. You got to kind of live like that right now. But this actually did work out for the Ravens because, like you said, Mark Ingram did get hurt. He got taken out of the game. But it sounds like the ankle injury that he has, he's not going to miss any games. If we were up against the Steelers this coming Sunday, he may not be playing. But the fact that this bye week is happening when it is, it doesn't look like Ingram's going to miss any games, which is awesome.
Absolutely, man. You don't want him to. And I mean, he's gotten a slow go anyway, right? He hasn't had the year that he had last year. I'm not sure what's up with that. But I feel like you can't miss out on these players at all. You know, we want them healthy, no matter if they're playing subpar or not. We need everybody, all hands on deck. This team is healthy as they can be for this November run, because this November run starts with Pittsburgh. November 1st, 2 weeks, it's going to be ridiculous. I mean, we play Pittsburgh twice that month. Not only that, but you have some games here where you're really going to test the Ravens. And yeah, we get it. They're not playing their best sharp football. But I really want to ask you about that, because it's like, again, we're in this win mode, but it feels like it's not a win. And then again, I don't like arguing with Ravens Nation, right? We want to, like, celebrate a win. Victory Monday, right? Happy Victory Monday, you know, and just celebrate all things good. And it just seems like with the Ravens not, you know, I guess, not winning or not playing up to people's expectations, whatever they may be, it seems like a lot of people are sour grapes when the Ravens winning or how they're winning. And I really want to ask you, number one, are you seeing the same pains on social media or amongst your friends? Do you feel the energy's going with these kind of wins, or are you excited? Hey, my football team is 5-1. You know, hey, you know, there's some teams out there who are struggling. The Bills just lost 2 in a row. They're 4-2. There's other teams that are struggling out there. We could be the Cowboys, and you know, lost Dak for the year. We could be the Jets, or 0-6, the only winless team left in the NFL. We could be the Falcons, the second factory of sadness at 1-5. Who let up games. I mean, there's plenty of other teams we could be, but we're not, and I get it. The Ravens don't have an identity, but I don't know. I guess that's okay, because we had an identity last year, and Brandon, what did that get us? So right. I'm stuck in this mode, like, help me out here. Like, what do people want? Because I don't know. What are you seeing? What are you feeling? What are you seeing?
It's So I think fans are expecting, you know, because of last year, that the Ravens are just going to go and tromp everybody and just, you know, muscle everybody off the field and win, you know, 60 points every single game. And we're not seeing that this year. And I try to explain that it's because the other teams in the NFL have seen Lamar Jackson play for a season now. So, you know, they are going to know what to expect from him. They have tape on him now. So things are going to change. But it's weird. The NFL has been this way for the last couple years. There is no middle ground anymore in the NFL. You're either terrible or you're epic and you're great. There's no mediocrity in the NFL anymore. There's teams that you're just expecting your team to beat every single time. And then there's really good teams that you got to prove yourself to win. There's nothing in the middle. It's crazy to think about. You're either winning by a lot, like the games we saw on Sunday, 30-28, they don't happen in the NFL anymore. It's really odd. I don't know. We're not a bad team at all. We are not a bad team. We are not the Jets. We are not Miami. We are not any teams like that. We are not the Falcons.
I mean, the Patriots are under 500 for the first time in two decades. So again, you know, we're not 2-3. Yeah. I don't know. You're right. We're still a good team. I think that's it. You know, and I'm not – I hate to put people in buckets, right? Well, this type of fan base or that type of fan base, we're all one accord. We're all Ravens Nation, right? But I feel like, you know, for some reason, this year has been divisive more than any, and I'm trying to figure out why. And it was like that last year. It was like that 2018 when Lamar came up and Joe got hurt, and it was – people weren't warmed up to that. You know, let it go, guys. Let's enjoy Ravens football. I'm tired of the argument. But it's like people are fixated on that. I think they're really spoiled from last year. And they're like, well, Lamar sat in the fourth quarter, and we really pretty much have the same offense except Marshayanda. We lost Marshayanda, and we lost Hayden Hurst. You know, those are – I mean, Marshayanda, you can't replace. He's a Hall of Fame player. Hayden Hurst, maybe. I don't know if it made an impact. You know, Mark Andrews had a down year. Who knows? On all, the Ravens are 5-1. They're half a game behind Pittsburgh for a division lead. They have a better record than the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills have lost two straight. Like, I put it on my social media out there today, some of the tweets and stuff. You know, Buffalo's lost two in a row. Why don't you harp on Josh Allen? Why is everybody jumping on Lamar, not doing this and not doing that? You know, I get it. He's the reigning MVP. You have high expectations. But correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, but did any other player repeat his MVP 2 years in a row? It doesn't happen.
Right.
Brady threw 50-something touchdowns. You know, did he repeat? What happened to Mahomes throwing 50 touchdowns, you know, and winning MVP? Yeah, he won a Super Bowl, but it's like, again, like they don't – you know, there's greatnesses out there, but it's like they don't have the same years. You know, there's only consistency for so long, and I don't know. I'm really sick of – because here's the thing. You know, people – I was like, okay – a lot of people are saying, I'm going to call him out right now, Brandon, because let me ask you this before I go on. You said they're not a bad team. They're still a great team. They're 5-1, even with problems. As of right now, do you feel like this team can win in January? Without playing these teams in November, as you've seen in these first six games, can this team win in January?
From judging just what we have seen so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you have. Yeah. You don't know what they're going to do. Yeah.
I don't think they can do that in January. I want them to, but this next month is going to be the test to see what they can do in January, because they've gotten some, you know, not stellar teams. You know, this has been a kind of a cakewalk the last 2 months. They're good. Mm-hmm. They're NFL teams. They're good teams. And like you always say, any given Monday, Thursday or Sunday, or sometimes Tuesdays even this year. But the Ravens, they are winning. They need to win. It's those games against excellence that they need to win. We haven't seen that yet. We've seen glimpses of it, you know, against Seattle last year. That was, you know, a fantastic game, and there was all heart, and, you know, I don't think either of us expected them to beat Seattle, and they came out and they showed everybody what they're made of. It's these games against Patrick Mahomes, against Ben Roethlisberger, where they need to show that they can beat the big names. They need to be able to go out on that stage, and even if it is close, that's okay. It's still a win, but it's the quality of opponent that you need to see. I think this team is still figuring out who they are. You know, it's the fact that they are 5-1 is awesome. And the fact that they are working together and still figuring it out and still winning, that's a great sign for the future. But it, you know, if we didn't have that one loss and it wasn't such like a bad loss against the Chiefs, I'd feel a lot more comfortable.
I get it. Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. They're one game away from being undefeated this year. One game.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, I've always heard the term, you are what your record says you are. They're 5-1 football team.
Yeah.
You know, as of right now, they're the fifth seed in the playoffs, like out of seven, you know, they expanded. So you got to keep pace. Wins get you in. Now, we can dedicate a whole probably 2 hours talking about this, breaking it down to we're blues in the face. There's no right or wrong. But to me, it's really crazy to think about because, and you hear both sides all the time after the Ravens almost debacle. You know, you hear one side of fan base is gracious for the win and like, all right, we understand there's mistakes, but they won the game. Relax. That's the bottom line is that's the end of the goal. That's why they play. They play to win games, to qualify for the playoffs, so you can win games in January to get you to Super Bowl. You got to win, period. Winning. Winning cures all. You know, and that's why we posed the question a couple weeks ago, is winning a bad thing because it disguises the problems, right? Because it's like, do you sweep it under a rug and ignore it and drink the Kool-Aid? It's like, oh, my football team's winning. I don't care. Like, you know, or if they start losing games at a clip, then you can start going, well, this is wrong, this is wrong. They can still win and have problems.
Yeah.
But my thing is, what do people want, Brandon? Because what kind of year did they have last year? They won 12 straight.
Dominant.
Had a record-setting offense. Lamar had the most dominant. Lamar's MVP. And what did that get us? So I'm asking these type of fans, what do you want? What do you want? Because I'm frustrated because help me out here. Because the team played phenomenally last year, and then it went squat in the playoffs. So what are you won on the play like last year? Then what? If last year won on the title, then I get it. But they got one and done by a team who was 9-7. The Titans were 9-7, a sixth seed last year, right? How many times have the Ravens done that in their year? They right. go in, they've done it. They went in at 9-7 and beat a Patriots team 33-14. You know what the stat line of that game was, and you probably seen me post about it. Flacco was 4-for-10 for 34 yards and a pick, right? You know, yeah, I get it. And I'm not saying you're not wrong, right, if this team cannot win in January the way they're playing, but we've seen worse.
Oh, yeah.
We've – and again, I'm not comparing this year to 20 years ago in 2000, right? But we've seen it. Trent Dilfer offense didn't score for 5 straight games a touchdown, almost 21 quarters. They went 2-3 in that point. And they still won the Super Bowl. They had 7 straight wins and one route to a Super Bowl in the regular season, 4 straight in the playoffs. Remember the Flacco in 2012. I drove all night on a bus from Knoxville, Tennessee at 10 p.m., got in White Marsh, Maryland at, 6 o'clock in the morning, went tailgating, went to the game, and what did I come into? The Flacco game. We got demolished by Peyton Manning and the Broncos.
Right.
We had to play them a month later, and look what happened. I mean – you can't sit there and tell me after that game in 2012, we're not going to win anything in January.
Right.
Broncos just clean our clocks, right? Play the games. You know, I'm just – and I'm not preaching to anybody specifically. I'm just saying just relax. You know, play the games. Like everybody's like, we're not going to beat Pittsburgh. How? We haven't played them yet. What happens if we win in 2 weeks? Then I'm going to be all up in your crap. Then what? Because you just told me 3 weeks ago we couldn't beat Pittsburgh. We just did. They got – now – we already know we can't beat not New England, Kansas City, right? Lamar and company are 0-3. Again, they called them kryptonite. We already know we can't beat Kansas City. Until we do, I'll toot my horn. We cannot beat Kansas City. If we're playing Kansas City 2 weeks, I'm going to say it's a loss every time. Every time we play Kansas City, it's a loss. Lamar hasn't lost to Pittsburgh yet. And you're already writing him off because why? Because Pittsburgh's almost the same way. Pittsburgh's main win was the Browns, and they scored the same amount of points. I don't know. Again, you're right. You know, if I had money on the line and you say, Josh, you're kidding yourself if you're betting for the Ravens against Steelers. No, be honest with you. If the Ravens lined up tomorrow and played the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'd probably put money on the Steelers. But you can't just say they can't beat them.
Right.
Number one, they're a divisional rival. And again, like you said, it's anytime, any day. I mean, the Patriots went undefeated and lost in the Super Bowl. Just because they won every game didn't mean that you should just hand them the trophy. They still have to play the games.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I just – I get really frustrated with that when after 6 weeks, the Ravens, record-wise, are one amongst the elite in the AFC, elite in the NFL. They got to keep winning to keep pace. And yet, you're going to say that the Bills are a better team, but they lost two straight. No, they're 4-2, and they lost two in a row. Ravens lost to the defending champs, and they won every game since. And not only that, but Lamar's 24-4 in his career. He's had the best start in his career among anybody in the league, and I posted about that today. So I don't know. I just get a little puzzled when people are like, well, we can't win, or I want it better, wanted to play better. Again, Brandon, that's what's so funny about this. They played the best season they've ever had in Ravens history and didn't win. Right. They went 13-3 in 2006, had a second seed again, didn't win. Ravens had a first seed, didn't win anything. So it's like, it's the question I would love to know. What more can we ask for? Because they could play better, right? They got to. They can't have a 17-0 lead evaporate like that. Obviously, in the playoffs, that'll hurt you. Obviously, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, that'll hurt you. You can't let that happen. But I'm going to save some good stuff for next week when we preview the Steelers game, because I when we break that down, maybe we'll really see how close these two teams are. But, I mean, I guess I say all that because I'm frustrated, because – instead of celebrating a win, it's like people arguing about how they're winning or how they're playing. And I get it, right? We want, I guess it's expectations. We want them to succeed, but right. It can't be like last year. We can't be benching Lamar in the fourth quarter, sunglasses on the bench. We're blowing teams out. Lamar's throwing 5 touchdowns a game. It's fun. It's awesome. And we got used to it last year, but we're back to that old school Ravens game. You get a lead. You almost blow it, but they did just enough to win it, but it's a win. And I'm like, I don't know. They won 5 out of 6 this year. If you had told me the Ravens would start 5-1 by this season they had, I had them at 4-2 this point in time. So I don't know. You know, I just don't know. But I don't know. I just want to celebrate the win. That's all. But you don't want to discount the problems.
Right.
They're a good football team. They got to work on things, but they're getting away with it. You know, now if they lost the game, then all bets are off. Then they're losing. You know, they're not playing up to expectation. But again, I don't know. And one more point I'll make is about losing leads. And again, it was an epic Super Bowl, but do we remember that they won the Super Bowl, or is the last memory, oh, we lost the lead? Because if my memory serves correctly, the Ravens had a 28-6 lead in Super Bowl 47. They had a lead just like they did against the Eagles. They almost lost the game, but they didn't. It made it for a crazy nail biter. I'm on the edge of my seat. Shouldn't have been that close, but it was. Are we gonna harp? I can't remember the post game 8 years ago, but I don't think fans were on the airways mad that we won. I don't think people were like, I don't care if we won the Super Bowl. We lost the lead. That defense shouldn't have done that. Like, we won the Super Bowl. Relax. Like, we won the game. Like, I don't know. I've seen this team lose leads before in the playoff games and all that, and they've come back and won them. Some of them they lost, but I don't know. It's just at the end of the day, I feel like the objective is to win a game at all costs. If you play crappy and win, great. If you play I don't know, Brandon. I guess when it comes down to it, bottom line, I am one fan and one guy to – I'd rather win ugly than lose pretty, because like Justin Herbert threw 4 touchdowns on Monday Football and lost to the Saints in overtime. So what if Lamar goes out and throws 4 or 5 touchdowns, and then you lose the game? Then who's to blame? It ain't the offense, because they're out there balling. They score 30. The team's averaging 30 points a game. So what more do you want? Like, I don't know. It's just I ask these fans rhetorically, what more do you want? Because we had it last year, and it didn't get us anywhere. That's all I got to say. It's just like I don't know why we're even going that route, but it just seems like people all want to do is like if they didn't win, beat the Eagles by 3 touchdowns, it didn't count pretty much. It's like so. At the end of the day, Brandon, like you said, there's either terrible or there's good. And you don't see these type of games anymore, but I feel like you might see them once in a while, because at the end of the day, this isn't Division I, Division III football playing against each other. This isn't what Clemson just won. Did Clemson just win 73-3 or something last Saturday?
Yeah.
Right? This isn't that big of a gap. These are professional athletes. They all get paid money. So they're professional. It's the NFL, the National Football League, pro football. They're professionals. So, yeah, you might have a 1-loss team here versus an undefeated team, but the Titans almost did the same thing, right? Titans barely almost won against their division rival Texans, who had one win. They had, took them to overtime, and they had to score in 4 seconds just to force overtime. So they had to work for it, too. So not all is dandy down in Tennessee land, even though they're undefeated, and even though they obviously, until we play them, we can't say we can beat them. But it's an interesting discussion because, again, no one's right or wrong. I'm just posing the hard questions like, guys, what more do you want? Because we had a crazy year last year and didn't go there. So what happens if we do that again this year? Like, I don't know. It's just a different – I think everybody's mad because and frustrated for one, but two, this team don't have an identity, man. Like, they don't. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they are. They're not a run-first offense like they were last year. Lamar ain't sharp. But, again, they're winning. So, again, you don't want to discount that. But it's just, man, it's just – this team – it's a big question mark, but they're 5-1. It's so crazy, man. Like, have you ever seen it?
It's like, you want to win these games now because, right, like you said, November is going to be a very tough month for the Ravens. It's mm-hmm. a lot of tough games. So win them now and figure out what your identity is now. As they are trying to figure it out. They're trying different things because these next games are going to be tough. They're going to be very hard to win. And let's hope that they win. I think they can win, but it's going to take some time. Again, I mean, we say it. I've said it every single show we've had this year. There was no preseason. They still got to figure this stuff out in the regular season. This is a lot of tough work. People have tape on Lamar now. That's why you don't see him running as much, because they're expecting that from him. The runs that he has been able to get this year, he's still looked good. He's still getting touchdowns. He's still doing Lamar stuff. You know, that's the way it is. Again, we lost Marshall Yanda. He retired. Matt Skur is coming off off-season surgery on his knees. He's only going to get better. So it's they're still building right now. And, you know, there were two things that concerned me in this game against Philadelphia, though, on the offense. Number one is Lamar using that kind of sidearm throw that he likes, because I've liked that in the even yep. just a game.
Yeah, it's in my notes. I'm it up. Yeah.
Even in the an earlier game, I want to say it may have been the first one against the Browns, where I was like, man, he's really good at throwing that sidearm. That's some talent right there. But in this game, he used that one way too much, and it almost like he was scared to throw like a long ball or something. So he kept kind of going for the short. We saw that with, you know, Joe Flacco back in the day, is that he was always going for that short ball to Pitta. I mean, it was like his safety blanket. We are seeing that a little bit with Lamar. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I'm a little worried about is the offensive line during that Gus the Bus touchdown. That offensive line was all on the same page. They were all working together. I don't think I've seen the offensive line look that good at all this year until I saw that play. And I'm like, yes, this is what the offensive line should be doing. That is exactly it. But then later on in the game, in the second half, that offensive line, I mean, I don't know what was going on, but they were getting penalty after penalty after penalty after penalty, and everybody was getting them. Ronnie Stanley especially. He reminded me of Michael Orr a little bit on this game. But that yellow penalty flag was being thrown far too much from that offensive line. I don't know what they were thinking. They got sloppy in that second half, which is probably, you know, what gave the Eagles that extra push to bring that score back up. But the offensive line, it looked sloppy towards the end. They need to get that up. And Lamar's got to work on his confidence, because I think using that sidearm for as much as he did kind of showed that he doesn't have confidence in his long ball right now. So I want to see that. Take this bye week, relax a little bit, enjoy yourself. But these guys have work to do. And if they fix some of those issues that I saw in this Eagles game, then yeah, I think they can win in January. Absolutely. But right now, if this was the last game of the season and then it was January football against Pittsburgh, I don't know if they'd be beating Pittsburgh, but they still got time to work on that. They do, and they have to work on it. And that's what I want to see going forward. They're still winning. It's still good. It's a work in progress. They're heading in the right direction. They're doing all things right, mostly, pretty much, I guess. But there's still stuff to work on. Those are two things I think the offense need to work on.
No, and I couldn't agree with you more. They were actually in my notes to discuss that on the offensive side of the ball. again, right there with you. Noticed the sidearm stuff way too much. It felt like he was pressing.
Yeah.
He was hesitant. It was almost like, remember I was talking about the Bengals game where he was like double pumping. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't sure whether it was intentional or not. Then it was like, okay, I'm going to throw it now. Like we're not seeing that MVP-like swagger from Lamar lately. And that's why we're all frustrated. I think that's the best word to use. We're frustrated. We're frustrated because they're not executing the way we know they can. It's the same personnel pretty much. You know, again, it's great. Wins are great. It's all fine and dandy. They got to work on it. But if they don't improve, things will go downhill fast. And we recognize that, right? I'm not discounting that at all. Eagles, a totally different team in the second half. They were making the plays they were supposed to be making. And you're like, what happened? Ravens, you know, they were throttling. They were sacking them. Attacking the ball, 17-0, they had the lead, and then just sat on it, like just flat out just sat down and lay down a little bit, and like the old mantra is, right, play not to win the game, you play to lose. Like they're just playing that prevent kind of defense, kind of just laying back and letting them see what they can do. Yeah, they got to get better. It's not crisp. It's not play like a Raven football, and I think that's what most are down about. Yeah, it's a win, but most are disappointed because of the lack of like, let's go get them, you know, and that's what I recognize as well. You know, I just more so celebrate a win because I follow the temperature of former and current players. There was a couple former Ravens on Twitter that were like, you know how hard it is to win in the NFL? You mm-hmm. got to take them as any way you get them. You know, whether you had to come and scratch the claw from a 20-point deficit or whether you had to hold on to the lead because you all slipped up. Wins are hard to come by, but wins, you stack wins, you get enough to qualify for the playoffs, qualify for seeding, qualify for division title. Again, you know, and I follow current players. A lot of current players, including Ryland Stanley, they were blessed to get the win, celebrate the win, but they know they have work to do. A lot of the players on social media recognize that, and at least they recognize that, but I think we just as fans sit by and watch the games, and it's like, okay, you guys, you say it, but why don't you guys work on that? Why don't we see that? Because it's the same old, like, I've heard the term sleepwalking, and they're sleepwalking. They think they can just show up like they were the Kings of the North last year and think they can just start winning games. They got to play. And I think that's what a lot of fans, including me, I'm frustrated about. I was frustrated the whole day. I'm like, this game shouldn't have been close. Here they go again. But once the win got there, I was like, all right, let me digest the win for 24 hours and then let me sit back and see. But when you all start hammering a team not even minutes after the win, it's like, again, I was on that mantra, like, did the team lose on Sunday? Because according to social media, I thought we were the Jets. Like, did we get shut out? Did we not win? What? I guarantee you, if I did a social experiment, didn't watch any games, didn't watch and didn't keep track of the Ravens, and I just followed a pulse on social media, I really think the Ravens are 1-5. Because it seems like after every win, it's belly aching, and I get it. Why? But no one seems to care about wins anymore, I guess. No one keeps about winning football. The team's winning. So it's like there's going to come a day where this team's 2-14, and then you're going to wonder then what, or they can't win, you know, and it'll come. So I don't know. I just feel like there's got to be a balance. Maybe it's the Libra in me because I'm about balance, right? I don't know. It's about you got to celebrate the win, but then also recognize there's work to be done, but not recognize and win at all and just like, oh, this team can't win in January. This team can't beat the Steelers. They can't beat the Titans. I'm like, shush up, man. Like, I just – you haven't played them yet. Like, and last was last year. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's sports discussion. It's great. It's always controversial. It's always fun. But it just sometimes makes you wonder, like, wait, come on. And again, everybody reacts emotionally. We're all full of – we're emotional fans. We want the team to do good. We celebrate. We yell and scream to the TV. We're passionate. And – we want to root this team hard, and I think – and a lot of us are still frustrated from last year. You had the year. You couldn't beat the Titans, and then from there it's just been like – then they come – and then again, from the start point this year, and I think this is where the frustration lies, Brandon. Didn't they start so hot against the Browns?
Right.
Coming out, doing this, doing that, right down the field at the end of the first half, and you're like, this team's another juggernaut, man. We're going to be another 14-2 team, 13-3, and then because we're still winning, but because since then it was just like, okay – the Texas game was a little boring. They didn't do anything. All right, they dominated the Bengals, but they should have scored 50. Okay, it was Washington, and it was like because we're not. I guess we're not facing the sexiest teams in the NFL. I don't know because we're playing in front and we're not exciting. But buckle up, because they're going to be awesome. We got twice Colts and New England ending. So buckle up because the A race will heat up then, and we'll get to see if this team work on things. Did this team – is this team for real? You know, you're writing them off after 2 months of football when they only played one good team in the Chiefs and they lost to that team. We get it. It's the Chiefs. They can't beat them. Not until they play them ever again, and then maybe we'd say they still can't beat them until they do. The jury's out. But again, this team hasn't lost to the Steelers under Lamar. They lost to the Chiefs under Lamar every time, so can't beat the Steelers. Right now, they can't beat the Titans. Titans and Steelers are the two teams I'd be worried about. Not worried about anybody else. Not even the Steelers. The undefeated, whatever. Because now if they Steelers come into Baltimore two Sundays from now and do the Ravens good and Ravens lose by two touchdowns and we can break down the podcast, you're right, guys. They can't beat the Steelers. But until the game happens, it's hard. I mean, it's easy to say it, right? It's easy to say on paper the way the Ravens are playing at 5-1, the way the Steelers are beating everybody else. But, and I don't want to ruin the breakdown of the Steelers-Ravens game, but I'll just encourage you guys, go back and watch that Steelers-Eagles game. Just go back and watch it. And that's all I'll say. Just go back and watch that game. So, but yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a crazy day in Philly, like you said. I did not go. It was the first Ravens game to allow fans there. Oh, it was an away game. I know some fans that went, took the trip up. I did not go. I was tempted. But as you said earlier in the show, what's a Philly fight or a Philly game without fans fighting?
That's right.
Didn't surprise me. Didn't surprise me at all. So, I hope everybody's okay out of that altercation. I didn't watch. I watched like 5 seconds of it, and I just turned off, shook my head, and was like, "I'm not surprised." But from all I know, all my friends are safe up there.
That's good. But just the video I sent you on Twitter of that the fight that was. I mean, it was socially distant already. They were like 4 or 5 rows apart. That dude climbed down the rows. He didn't even go to the steps, which were like 2 feet away. He just like bigfooted. Down each row to get to this guy to have a fight. What are you doing? Just why? Why are you doing that? Stop. But that dude was just crazy. But yeah, of course, Philadelphia, of course. And it wasn't even like a Ravens-Eagles fan. It was two Eagles fans. Fans of the same team fighting. What are you doing? Stop. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's... You know, that's just boneheaded beyond belief. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, how many times have we seen videos of fans in the stands fighting? It's just not – and that's another deterrent why folks don't go to games no more, and it sucks, right? You know, you want to sit there, enjoy the game, and not be harassed, and then you see videos like – and that was a lot of people's response was, I was going to go to Philly, but good thing I didn't because here you go again.
Right.
You know, and it was like, you know, I don't know. I mean – some people are saying is fans in the stands ever going to be ever, you know, not, I don't know if they were being serious or sarcastic, but it's like, all right, COVID already caused no fans to be in stands for sports. They were getting used to it. Then you got fans fighting. It's like, will you just eliminate fans to go to games altogether? That would be insane because live sports is fun. And
yeah.
I feel like the players would agree. You need the crowd to feed off when it's great. But it just makes you think, man, just sometimes your tolerance for those kind of things are no more. And then you just don't want to go no more because no one's going to be fighting you at the comfort of your own house. Or if you go out with your friends and enjoy somewhere, you know, no one's going to be fighting with you. So if you're amongst family and friends, so I don't know, but it was just crazy scene up in Philly, but they came out of Philly with the all close, the all important win, but we did get it, man. This team needs a lot to work on. We want them to work on them. They got the bye week to heal up.
Yeah.
As we know, speaking of the bye week, the team usually goes on vacation or goes to see family because of protocols. And I think it's good in a sense because they got to stay here, man, being the facility, the city, and the town. And not only that, but they got to work on themselves. I feel like they shouldn't take a week off. They should heal up, but I feel like they got to hit the books. I feel like this should be one of those like working summers. Like this is summer school. Like no, you ain't off the hook. Like no funny games. Like, you know, we're 5-1 and I've seen the interviews, right? Harbaugh, the players, they get it. You know, they're not happy. Like Deshaun Elliott said that, right? Like they got the win, but they're like, no, we're not satisfied. And that's what it is. We're not satisfied. You know, they're winning. Yes. He's great. The wins are great, yes, because we'd be in dire straits if we had one or two more losses on the books and we're sitting here at 4-2 or 3-3. Then the Ravens are pretty much out of it at that point. But right, they're 5-1. That's the – I can't – I mean, that, to me, I'm actually crazy excited how they're 5-1 but playing like that. And I've always said, if they play like this at 5-1, and if they find a stride against the good teams, even if they go through the stretch with winning football here, I don't know. There are some concerns. We'll break it down in a week. Let's chew on it. Let's enjoy it. Bye week. There's no game this Sunday. See what happens with the NFL. The Steelers play the Titans on Sunday. So that's a big matchup in the AFC. 5-0 teams are square off on Sunday at 1 o'clock. They didn't move the game. I don't know if the Ravens game is going to be moved at all. Right now the Ravens are scheduled to play the Steelers at 1 o'clock at home on November 1st. They got moved. So it's Halloween weekend. We play the Steelers. This team is a little scary. We're scared. We're scared to what, you know, could happen. They could implode, and this winning team might not be no more, or they keep winning. I don't know. But they got to figure it out quickly. And again, bottom line is, with all said and done today on the show, we, Brandon, we probably both recognize that, right? I certainly recognize that. I guess I get more excited as a fan because, like, hey, I enjoy victory Mondays. My team won the game. You know, hey, did your team win? Like, I enjoy a win, but then I have to sit down and go, all right, but there's work to be done. You can't be satisfied. You could have a great day at work, but you might not have been at your best. You might have been tired. You might have slept, walked through work, but you got your work done, right? And but you can do better. And there's two things I personally, you know, I don't want to go through some self-help right now, but Brandon, there's two things personally I say at the end of every day, and I learned it from one of my mentors. What can you do differently, and what can you do better? And that's what the Ravens really have to ask themselves after these games, right? You know, and I'm sure they do in these meetings and stuff. All right, guys, it was a win, right? But getting down to the tape, you can't have lapses of coverage. Marcus Peters, you can't get bit on a double hook like that. And you're like, he literally was like inside and then gone. He was outside. You know, guys, you have to account for the running backs. Guys, you got to do this. You know, Lamar's got to be crisper. And that's where we're just frustrated. We're winning frustrated, and I guess it's a good thing, but got to be sharper. November's looming. Oh, boy. And if they don't start getting sharp now, the season might be over by December if we're not careful. So tread with caution with this team. I think the identity is tread with caution. They're 5-1, great, but buyer beware is what I have to say. But it is what it is.
And you do have guys coming out, and they're doing the right things. You know, we've got two players on this team, Deshaun Elliott and Devin Duvernay. Both of those guys came out, and they played really well this week. And ever since Duvernay kind of had his big showtime against the Chiefs, like, the only good thing about that against the Chiefs game is that the Ravens have been using him more, and he definitely had a good showing this past Sunday. So hopefully we'll see more of that. Again, like you said, this team doesn't have an identity right now. They're still kind of figuring that out, and it seems like Duvernay is going to be the guy going forward, and we're going to be seeing more of him, which I think is a good thing.
You know, Duvernay, for one, I was really excited to see him get involved in the offense, right? I mean, didn't Harbaugh say he was going to get involved? We want to see a little bit more out of the receiving core. Miles Boykin included, but really, who's going to step up? I don't know, the Duvernay. I mean, you remember the players calling the Ravens out, right? You know, Lamar don't have anybody to throw to other than 89 and 15.
Right.
It was really good to see them get involved. Sneak caught a pass, but – at the same time, again, you kind of wonder, when are these guys going to step up and produce and help Lamar out? And I don't know if that translates to Lamar's confidence. Maybe he's not confident in the players he has. He's already screamed for AB, and there's already rumblings and rumors because week 8's looming. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it'll ever happen, you know, but I would be surprised if the Ravens actually even signed Antonio Brown. But just think of the storylines if that were to happen. You head into Steeler week 2020 with AB on your roster against them. And Lamar's been very vocal about wanting him on the team. You have his cousin already. I'm just saying, hey, it sets up for the Ravens. I don't think it'll happen, but they need somebody. And a lot of people are like, especially after the game on Sunday, a lot of people were texting me going, they brought Dez for an overworkout. Why didn't they sign a Dez Bryant? Why don't they go out and get an AB? Why don't they trade for a veteran receiver? They need somebody. And I feel like this team needs receiver help quickly. Defense will be fine. I felt like the defense really had an off game Sunday. You know, they had the lead. They got lazy. Maybe they take the Eagles for granted saying, oh, it's Wentz. They can't do anything. Half their team's hurt. And then they started balling out. And then they started saying, oh, let's play. And then obviously you've seen what they did is they clamped down the two-point conversion. All was done. And it was all over. But, no, this team needs some help. I really think that they're going to make a move in this next couple weeks for the trade deadline come the next game. So, and again, we could be really covering some breaking news here in a couple weeks. You know, trade, a free agent acquisition. This team could look totally different a little bit come the next time we come to a preview or breaking down a game or next time they line up for the play football. So we'll see. But they got to certainly rest on the bye week and get their head straight, man. You know, winning's great. Got to get back to the basics. Got to get back to it.
All right, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
All righty, man. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, well, if you guys would like to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
We got to say thanks to our loyal listener. He's been listening to us for a very long time, Jason over on Twitter. He's always sending us Victory Monday photos and Purple Friday photos. Thank you so much, Jason, for checking out The Call and being a loyal listener. We really do appreciate that. And if you'd like to be a fan of us as well and you're on Facebook, go over to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we're always posting anything we can find football related there as well. News breaks, anything like that. You'll be the first to know over on our Facebook page. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. We're heading into the bye week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Man, thank you so much heading to the bye week, Brandon. I know it's a lot to go through and unpack, and everybody's got their sides to this, right? We get it. You know, we can sit here until we're blue in the face and speak our sides and break it down. We're all frustrated. You know, I'm talking to fans right now, you know, even, you know, on the social media. Fans are just frustrated. You know, we want this team to do better. The bye week can come at a perfect time. We're going to be okay. We get it. Steelers, this stretch run, November, going to be tough. Can this team do it? Don't know. A lot of people are saying they're doubting them. I don't think they can get it done. Me, I'm on the fence. I'm kind of like, I don't know. You know, I want to believe it. They can get it done, but then at the same time, they haven't played the teams yet. So let's see. But we already have one test against the Chiefs. Haven't gotten it done. Got to get through the bye week. Got to believe. Just got to root hard and believe. You got to dig down deep. This team's got to find the confidence and swagger that they know they can have. Last year was a lot of fun. You know, a lot of the dancing, the joking and all that. It just seems more casual, more business-like this year. And we want to get that back. And I think all would start at a great bye week, rest up, prepare for 2 weeks, division rival Steelers. That would be awesome. And the Steelers play the Titans. If the Steelers can survive, they would be undefeated coming to us. And I don't know about you, but one of two ways would happen. Either we're going to have an opportunity to hand them a first loss or hand them a second loss and really take the lead in the division. Either way, it's going to be the biggest test yet this season. Week 4 was it, but now this looms large. First of two bouts with Pittsburgh in the same month. Baltimore Ravens, fans, everybody, it's going to be okay. Proceed with caution. But remember, 5-1, going into the bye. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.